Even at schools with the best possible tech, remote education has a major learning curve. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech, Demystifying the Digital Economy. I'm Molly Wood. A lot of America's kids have now been learning exclusively online for more than a month. Some with far more access to equipment, online teaching, and internet access than others. On top of that, no one school district or even school is doing things the same way. Holly Plummer teaches English and history to ninth graders at a private school in Los Angeles. She says she's in a luckiest case scenario. The families have the resources to enable online learning. Now, she just has to translate her in-person classroom to an online classroom. Plummer told me a lot of teachers are teaching each other how to teach.
Well, I've really found for my students and for my class, what's been most challenging is helping it feel as authentic and natural as it usually does, ensuring that things like discussions and group work and those pieces in which students are asked to engage can feel natural, can feel like they are following a natural train of conversation. One of the big advantages, of course, of video teaching is I can mute all of my students, and that's really helpful with ninth graders.
Yeah. And
it also means that people have to sort of take time to kind of come in at specific points. It's a little harder for me to steer discussions and steer conversations and ensure that everybody is getting their voice heard and that the connections are being built, because there's this built-in sort of pause and gap between the start of the statement and then muting themselves and then the next student unmuting themselves and muting themselves. And some of the sort of magic of teaching, where you're pulling from lots of different kids' ideas and helping them craft a larger idea, say on a whiteboard, is a little harder to do when you don't have the opportunity to kind of move around the room and have them engage with each other in that sort of one-on-one way or in small groups. It's a little harder to get that sort of authentic feel to synthesizing course information and synthesizing the material in a really advanced way. So I don't feel like we're getting quite as deep into the larger thematic ideas, which is unfortunate.
Right. Are there parts that are working? I mean, you mentioned
yes.
Muting, which does seem very
useful.
It's a
joy. Yes, yep. It's very useful. And those talkative kids, I can actually still see them talking. I just can't hear them. It's pretty funny. And I would also say there are big advantages in that I do think it's helping the students listen more closely to one another than they might in a class. But it really is one person talking at a time, allows them to listen more deeply to one another and allows them to take more time building on each other's ideas. And I do think in some ways that's helping us push some of our content a little bit further. And, you know, I've got a couple of students that prior to this were on my list of, gosh, how am I going to get, student A to speak more? How am I going to get student B to speak more and engage more? Who suddenly on a platform like this are super talkative, which is really unusual. And I'm not sure if it's just for some reason for those students a bit more comfortable. So that's kind of a benefit and a bonus too. It's been interesting that some of my overtalkers have stepped back some and some of my undertalkers have stepped up some. So that's a plus, I'd say.
Yeah. Even in the luckiest case scenario, it sounds like you're saying the students will lose some learning. And then how does that start to play out broadly across the children of America this school year?
I think next year, our students are not going to start in the same place that they would normally. And I think every classroom next year is going to have to reconceive their first unit, their first couple of units, as opportunities to find their way back or figure out what the gaps are, assess those and reintroduce ideas or build ideas or build skill sets or concepts that the students had simply missed, because there's only so much that can be done in makeup time that can be done in a summer school setting. But I do think the start of next year is going to be dramatically different than it would traditionally be, because it's going to take some time to figure out where everybody's at.
What tools are you using? It sounds like you're using Zoom, but have you incorporated any other new tech into your teaching?
I've incorporated a little bit of new tech. We do a lot on using tech as it is. I use Google Classroom and Google Drive. I'm looking to do, we do a gallery exhibition on World War II battles usually in this unit, and I'm trying to find some online way to do it. We use predominantly Noodle Tools and Screencastify, which is an excellent program that allows you to videotape yourself presenting. So there's a little corner picture of you while presenting over slides or other pieces. We're lucky that this is happening in this day and age where all of that's available. I don't know how it would be done 20, 30 years ago.
Yeah, that is pretty cool, though. What's the sort of resource sharing looking like? Like, our teachers, you know, are you all in the same Facebook group posting ideas?
We are for sure resource sharing everywhere you turn. Teachers are pretty good at that, just as a general rule. I'm part of a couple of different Facebook invitation-only groups that are about remote teaching and that are specific to everything from strategizing for new tools to strategizing, you know, when things have gone wrong. So I'm seeing teachers from all over the world and my own connections from all over the world engaging with those sorts of questions, whether they're art teachers or piano teachers or physics teachers. Everybody's asking kind of the same questions.
Like, do you think there's any possibility that in the future there will be like a hybrid where some students are in class and some are at home?
I think that's complicated because the research is 100% clear that online learning does not work as well. That said, we've never been tested like this. We've never been asked to really step into this space, and we've never really been asked to challenge ourselves. So who knows if it could be so much better with a lot more practice, right? I don't think we're looking at going back next year and everything just runs like a school year. I think there's going to possibly be some back and forth and in and out and different periods of isolation, you know, or kids who've been exposed or kids who, for whatever reason, have, you know, compromised immune systems. Yeah. And I think it's going to have to be somewhat of a hybrid in my classroom next year.
Yeah.
But it seems really very possible.
Holly Plummer teaches ninth grade at Wildwood School in Los Angeles. A study this month from the nonprofit Northwest Evaluation Association, based on existing research about summer learning loss, estimates that some kids could return to school in the fall nearly a full year behind in math education alone. And now for some related links. You can find a link to that NEA study on our website, marketplacetech.org. It also estimated students would retain maybe 70% of the reading gains they'd have gotten in a normal school year. At best, 50% of the gains in math, or as I mentioned, in some grades, as much as a year behind in that subject. A New York Times editorial cited that study and pointed to research from Michigan State University that found that no state was even remotely prepared for a situation that involved teachers being unable to teach face-to-face. So coming up with solutions has been left to individual cities, school districts. In some cases, it's happening literally at the classroom level. And the thing is, EdTech does exist. But schools are, let's just say, very slow-turning ships without a lot of money. A TechCrunch article noted last week that of the $1.6 trillion spent on education every year in the U.S., less than 5% is spent on education technology. It notes that investors think this is an area for startups to make a difference after the pandemic. Although, as I mentioned, entrenchment runs deep in education. And as lots of states face budget shortfalls because of the economic impact of the lockdown, K-12 education is often the first and easiest place to cut. That means schools already hobbled by underfunding might end up with even fewer resources to spend on anything, let alone education tech. They'll just be trying to catch up. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.